Okay, we're back with a special guest. Actually back by popular demand because I've had some people comment that his voice is velvety and delicious. And it's actually true. Welcome back.
Who said that?
Don't worry about it. Welcome back. You have to talk to me. Here.
Thank you.
So now that you have a fan base, what do you want to talk to them about?
I don't know who would... that would assume that I accept the fan base, but I'd like to talk, I guess, about a little bit about where I am in my current life and the recent shift, which has, I think, been a permanent change, which has really changed the way, really changed my outlook on life in general. And it has changed my sort of daily living in a lot of ways, and the way I experience it, the way I walk through it. So whatever that means, this includes things, you know, a lot of spirituality stuff, I think, and some of the practices that I think I've been focusing on lately and the way it's been impacting my life.
So we're going to kind of cover change. Let's start with sort of the physical changes that you've undergone, because I'm sitting next to you now. You're wearing a ring. It's an Om ring. Oh. you've got a few Buddha beads. You've got just different sorts of jewelry. I feel like you've always been able to reflect what's going on inside and the outside. So maybe you should talk to us about that.
About what's on the inside and outside?
Yeah. I see the physical manifestation of like exactly what's happening, but not really like the reasons behind or anything like that.
I'm not even conscious of these physical changes. I know that I have been going through some, you know, random sort of cosmetic changes on the outside, just physical looks or whatever. Maybe my hair looks different. My clothes have been, like, my fashion has been changing a little bit, but it's been evolving, but I'm not really sure how much of it that actually reflects, you know, this new, like, look I have in life in general, but maybe it does. Maybe it's in the subconscious. So the Om ring was given to me by someone really, really special. So I'm not really fully sure. I don't think I fully understand, you know, the Om essence of what that means yet, and I think I definitely do want to like research and look into that, but I don't know. In general, I guess maybe it started back in December. Something happened, maybe it was like something with things with family, and it, you know, I just was at sort of this point in my life where I felt constantly unfulfilled and constantly just stretched out really thin, and decided that I need to just really, really refocus my life on what's important. And I've been sort of dabbling with doing yoga, and I've always been intrigued about meditation, but I've never actually pursued it or done anything to actually experiment with it. And I've been doing yoga a little bit more frequently, more consistently, and that sort of helped. And I know that the amount of therapeutic release that I get from that. So naturally, there was a course that there was a personal growth course that focused on mindfulness and meditation that I took for about 8 weeks or so, and it was a good overview. I mean, and it was pretty basic, but it was already in line with where I would think I was like moving in life. Like I wanted to just sort of slow down and retract myself and recenter myself and be more focused towards everything, just towards every moment, regardless of what that moment was.
Wait, explain to me real quick what mindfulness is.
Mindfulness is sort of, as I guess in my understanding for myself, my own definition would be this sort of awareness that you have of your physical state, which is a complete reflection of your mental and internal emotions. With the idea, I mean, so it was more focused on emotional awareness, and so to stay mindful about anything is to just be very aware of what's happening in you or around you or within you, within your heart, within your mind, to just be aware of these subtle intricacies, these sort of vibrations that are happening, right? Based on...
But how do you do this? Like other activities? Or is it like it's like a mindset? Is it like a different...
It's in your mind, yeah. So, I mean, the idea...
Like how would I do this, hypothetically?
So the idea behind meditation is that it's training. It's the assumption that, well, you understand that your brain is a muscle. It's just like any other muscle, like your biceps or your pectorals or your abs, right? It's something that, you know, as you work out, as you train, as you put it under strain, and you train it and you sort of practice it and you do it on a consistent basis, and you can increase the strength of this muscle, and you can increase the strength of your brain. But your brain is, you know, obviously it can experience a lot of different strengths and actions and movements. It can do more than just push and pull. The things that your mind does is one of them is focusing. Every time you focus on a task or a project, it takes up a lot of strength mentally. And the idea behind meditation is it's essentially the way you go to the gym and lift weights for an hour and a half. Meditation is sort of this daily practice that you do for yourself, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or even just 1 minute, one mindful breath per day, that trains your brain and strengthens its ability to focus and to be more mindful and be more aware and present in every single moment that you're experiencing.
In the times when you're not meditating. So you're training your brain to focus in the times when you're not meditating, essentially? So that overall, exactly. you can focus easier doing other things?
Exactly. You're not sort of meditating every moment in life. Right. The meditation is this sort of consistent, more periodic thing you just do as an exercise, so that when you are like experiencing moments in life where you are under a lot of strain or you're faced with all these emotions that are just surging through you that seem to be just taking control over your body, like we've all been in these like extreme states of emotions where we're angry or extremely happy or joyful or extremely depressed and apathetic, and the idea is, like, you know, if with a properly trained brain, like muscle, like your ability to stay mindful and focused, it can help you sort of cope and I guess not prevent those emotions from happening, but allow you to witness them and be more aware of them. And so that the idea is, like, if you are more aware of these emotions and effects that's happening on your body, that you can further understand it and then let it just sort of come and go and pass through you more quickly instead of holding it in.
So I feel like that's interesting, because I had always thought of meditation as clearing your mind.
Clearing
your mind, sort of forgetting, like not thinking about stuff and concentrating, from what I understand, more say like on a, like concentrating your breathing, like creating a safe space for you to be and to relax, to sort of clear emotions, negative, positive, highs, lows. Yeah. The way you kind of are approaching is that you're putting it through sorts paces, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about, like, sort of what you're... I think you're talking more specifically about, you know, what your intention is, like, what you're actually actively doing when you're in a state of meditation. You're staying conscious of clearing your mind, you're staying conscious, and you're bringing all your focus to your breath.
So I'm confusing the how with the why.
Yeah, you're confusing with what the effects of meditation are versus
the use.
How to meditate.
How. Okay, yeah. Right.
So
okay.
You described the how as, yeah, they say, you know, breath is one of the easiest things you can focus on, but there's, in reality, you can focus on anything. It's just, you just got to pick something and stay focused on it. And every time your mind wanders, and it will, or emotions will come and go, is to not sort of block those emotions from happening, but to just allow them to come through you and pass through you, and then just gradually and subtly, gently bring back your focus to whatever you're focusing on, which in most cases is your breath.
So now that you've gone through this experience, and you're still going through it, but you've gone through a few months of training yourself, talk to me about some.
I haven't been as. I mean, it's really difficult to do this on a consistent basis,
But you've seen changes.
I have seen immense changes just from. I said I took a class for about 7 or 8 weeks, which I wouldn't say like is the birth of it, because I feel like my interest in this stuff started before that, and it's why I took the course. But I started noticing. When I was consistent, I did it consistently for about 2 weeks. For different people, it could take different amounts of time for you to realize or feel its effect. But I feel fortunate, I guess, that it, you know, I noticed a significant change in just my daily mindset. Just the amount of composure and peace that I had in any moment, even in moments of high stress and anxiety or anger, I just felt so much stronger in terms of mentally, like my mental strength and ability to stay composed and to not, you know, be all discombobulated every time I feel this really, every time I get triggered by an intense emotion, you know, if somebody cuts me off on the road or if all of a sudden I get really excited about something, I can still experience that emotion fully and I can still experience that full anger or excitement while at the same time fully being present and just like letting it sort of come, experiencing it fully and but not like sort of being taken away from my path, you know what I mean? Like staying on track.
No, actually. But what? So it's changed you because you've been able to experience things and still, I mean, is it something that keeps you level emotion, you know, not level headed, but I guess the opposite of that, where it keeps you able to experience things, but at the same time not overreact? Is that sort of what you're talking about?
I mean, I recognize that I am human. I mean, we're all human. And so, like, it's unrealistic to expect yourself to, you know, never, you know, overreact or never experience such an anger, such an intense emotion that it doesn't overcome you. I think stuff like that will happen. It's just, it's more of how you cope with it. Like let's say it does happen. Many times, maybe in my past, like I'd be very judgmental towards myself and be really upset about it and upset at myself for feeling these emotions, upset at myself for even getting angry or for getting in such a state of depression or something or just being really sad, you know, like, fuck, like I hate, why do I always get like this? Like, it's such a pattern, like, I don't feel like I'm in control over it. And it's because I was constantly failing at preventing these emotions from happening. And so one of the things that meditation helped with is, or just being mindful and aware, is it allowed me to change my mindset in a way where it no longer rejects these emotions. I realized, like, I can't prevent myself from feeling these things. I can't prevent myself from feeling angry. You know, I can't prevent myself from feeling whatever it is that I feel whenever I walk through life. And I have no idea what's going to happen around me. Like, life's always changing the world. I never know what it's going to throw at me. And so there's no point in me trying to suppress or prevent these emotions from happening. Like, as a human being, it's like what it means to be human is to feel these things. And so instead, I welcome these emotions, even the negative ones, because I know it's just part of me. Yeah, instead of letting these negative emotions, instead of preventing them from happening, it's more of I now welcome them sort of into my body and I accept that I don't have control about with preventing them from happening, so instead I just accept it and allow it to run through me instead of trying to block them, because that's just a losing battle.
What were you doing before?
I was trying to stand guard and block every negative emotion that was coming in. But yeah, it just you can't it's like a losing battle, like I said. Like, you can't win, and it is like a form of repression. Like, you are sort of depressing yourself.
So does that mean now emotions. You're expressing them? Because I feel like this is not even...
Totally, totally. That's right.
But see, it's not expression necessarily.
I guess expression is a different
expression
topic.
Would be like letting it...
That is a different... Yeah.
Like, almost like letting it out, soaking in it, and then like letting it out. Versus, this is something like altogether different, mm-hmm. right?
There is a link, I think. I mean, it is a different topic completely, but I will say... I don't think I want to diverge over to the topic of expression, but I will just add that it has made me even more expressive than I already was trying to be. Like, because when you accept your emotions for what they are, and you like no longer are judgmental towards them for feeling, you don't feel bad or you don't feel guilty for feeling what you feel. It equips you, enables you to be able to express them. Without fearing sort of the judgment that you get from people that I used to fear, because you realize it's something that I actually really love to experience. So this has really helped me stay present a lot more. Like, one of my focuses every day these days, the challenge is I'm constantly challenging myself every day to stay more present in life. And I mean more specifically to stay present in every single moment. And there's an actual benefit from this that I think people can relate to. And there's one example where there was another lecture that I attended from some guy. I forget what he was. I mean, he's a guy who spent like X amount of years in Tibet, locked himself in just a state of meditation, training his ability to focus his mind. And I love this analogy that he gave about living life, about staying present throughout life, where so many people, or a lot of people in the world, try to, you know, they're very risk averse. They're very scared of death. They're scared of, you know, they do everything they can to eat healthy. They exercise, or they, you know, they protect themselves from harm. I don't know. Even something as common sense as wearing a helmet. Like, you do all these things to try to preserve your life, to expand the length of
you
it.
You should wear a helmet, by the way.
I should wear a helmet, yes. Yeah. but, you know, you do all these things to go out of your way to protect yourself in order to elongate your lifespan. You know, I want to live till I'm 80 or whatever, because the idea is, you know, in 80 years, I will have lived more life than someone who's lived for only 40 years. But I think that's the wrong mentality, because ultimately, you really the reality is that you really don't know when your life is going to go, and you don't have control over that. And so you're going to just be anxious throughout your entire life, you know, trying to protect yourself from these things. And I mean, more than physically, I mean, even emotionally. There's so many people out there that guard themselves emotionally, prevent themselves from becoming close to people, you know, trusting people.
And this is a change that you think has within the last few months and realization that, or it's been a, I feel like it's been a gradual change, because ever since I've re-met you, this is something that you've sort of been focused toward, is being present, also yeah. Sort of like you know,
so I was gonna,
living each moment as it comes.
Yeah, so the reason, I was going to finish that by saying the reason why, you know, with focused mind, and if ideally, imagine you had the ability to stay 120% present in every single moment and detail in your life, till you know, everything from hopping into the shower in the morning to brushing your teeth to the first, you know, bite out of your toast with butter and jelly, like in the morning, your first sip of coffee, like to a conversation that you had on the side, you know, like every single moment, if you could like fully stay present in every moment. And not take it for granted. You have control over that. You can intensify every moment in life and live two or three times more of a life in every moment. And by doing that, you will have lived a much more fuller life, even in 40 years, than anyone who's less present could live in 100, you know? So that really resonated with me. That made a lot of sense to me. And to me, it was really clear, like, this is what I've sort of been always trying to get to in life. Like, I've always wanted to get more quality out of life, and I didn't really have the foundations or the things to think about how to achieve it. And I think finally this is something that actually makes like every bit of sense. I think this is like what I've been trying to strive for so many years. So it felt like a pretty amazing breakthrough for me. What was that?
Oh, do you want to keep going?
Well, I don't know. Do you have any questions?
I have lots of questions. Brief questions. Yeah. Well, my first question is, because I actually feel like I'm approaching it exactly the opposite way recently, where mm-hmm. I'm like, you're saying you want to be engaged in everything 120%.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everything I'm doing now, I feel like it's 30%, because I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, like you're saying, mm-hmm. Well, I encourage your showers, but like the other stuff that you're saying, like enjoy the butter in your toast, enjoy this. Like for me, this has become very routine.
Yeah,
you know, and it's something where it's like, if you go 120% of the time, or 100% all the time, mm-hmm. it's very tiring.
It is.
It's very tiring. And some of the routine that you have in your life is, mm-hmm. in my idea, like sort of designed to be slow. Like you don't need 120% to brush your teeth, to enjoy your breakfast, or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. I think it can be very powerful, but at the same time, it's maybe it's an awareness that, I mean, I don't know if it's better or not. I mean, that's just the way, I mean, I live yeah. my way, you know, other people totally. Live their way.
Yeah.
But it also has led to, I think, some of the changes in you recently is the positivity. Mm-hmm. I think that people around you have experienced that you're sort of, you're projecting more of a positivity.
Yeah.
And is that because you're able to be present? Is that able, like, or are you, you know, it's, because you're saying there's obviously you're still experiencing a lot of not always good emotions. So it's not just like, oh, you're the happiest person in the world, thus you're positive.
Yeah.
But it's more of a reflection of whatever I take in, I'm going to kick out as positive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say it's definitely, it must be a result of it. The reason I'm not like saying absolutely or like I'm so like convicted in it is because it's not my goal, you know, like that's not what motivates me every day. I mean, it's not like the idea of going out there and sharing a happy thought and happy positive, you know, moment with people. Like that's not what motivates me to get up and want to experience life. It's really self-driven. So ultimately, like I will say, like I still have the same belief in terms of selfishness in the way that I think it's a lot of misconceptions about it. Maybe there's like negativity attached to what that means to, you know, being selfish. But ultimately, I'm a firm believer that, I mean, the way that you can have the biggest and best and most positive effect on people around you is when you are in the happiest state that you can be, or the most content and fulfilled state.
What happens if you're accurate. Not content or fulfilled?
Then that's when I feel, like, when I feel like my life, like my internals are just in disarray, like, and I haven't been able to, you know, really like focus myself or be present, and I feel like just, you know, like kind of off my path, my life path in some ways. I feel those are the moments where it's really difficult for me to be positive. It's really difficult for me to have, I don't know, like a good energy coming out, radiating out of me. And that's when I know it's helped, while being conscious of this, being aware of it has helped me look out for these cues, these signs that are happening in my body. And it helps me become more aware and know that I need to do something about it. I need to like be alone for a while.
I noticed in your little mini list of topics, number 6 is pain and growth. And explain that one more to me, because I'm not sure what that means.
Pain and growth, and then I separated
masochism.
A semicolon with masochism, because I just thought this was an interesting topic, because, well, beyond the focus of meditation, there's a common goal that I've always had throughout my entire life, which has been personal growth. And even when I was in this, when I was not even aware of what that meant, when I was younger, I was always, I don't know, seemed like I always was sort of craving some type of suffering and pain. I don't know. And I still feel like there's a part of me that has this masochistic side of me that, you know, looks at as two look at a fork in the path and looks at,
are you like an emotional cutter?
I don't know. Looks at, yeah, which one will, like, you know, which one is going to be more difficult? Which one's going to, like, give me the most shit? And which is going to be, like, more gut-wrenching for me to, like, experience? And honestly, there's something about, you know, that really painful thought, the idea of going through something really painful that is actually, that I'm very attracted to. And I seem to always be wanting to head towards. And once I get to that point, I'm like, fuck, you know, I'm like, I'm at, like, lowest lows, and I'm like, you know, suffering, you know, depressed, whatever, apathetic, feeling like completely just hopeless. But I think I'm addicted to the growth. Like, I realize that it's like your muscles, like when every time you tear them apart, you know, they'll become sore and they're going to hurt like hell the next 2 days. But it's like, that's how you build, and you experience that, the strength that you experience afterwards. It's just, there's something about that that I really, it's just, it's so true.
It's funny because through your description, it just sounds like you're an emotional alcoholic. It doesn't seem like you're growing because you're just tearing it down. I mean, that's the concept of weightlifting, is like breaking it down and getting your muscles back. But you're saying like you just headed toward like, oh, if there's a lot of pain here, then from there, growth will come.
There could be a slight addiction towards, I mean, the pain, I think, is another, I don't know, experience, like physical or sensual I don't know, something you feel that I think can be addictive. There are people who are addicted to pain, so they, you know, do things to themselves. But
are you still one of these people?
Well, I'm trying to find that balance, because I think pain, when I sense this, when I sense something is very difficult for me to deal with, and something I can feel my body like tensing up, like your physical body oftentimes manifests, you know, your emotions manifest itself physically. And when you get nervous and when you get stressed or when you get angry, you can literally feel your body changing state. You know, your heart rate increases or your breathing pattern shortens or it gets, you know, more irregular or whatever. And becoming more aware of that, learning to stay aware of those cues, it helps me know when my body's in a state of, you know, difficulty. It's experiencing some type of stress. So when that happens, I feel like it's a good cue. It's a good way to know when you're about to experience something difficult, when you're about to experience something hard, and you know that you're going to grow if you experience it and you allow yourself to face it. But it's still a choice you have to make. And I don't always choose. I won't say that I always choose the most difficult path, but I definitely go through phases where I'm like, I know that's the path. I know I'm going to grow the most there because that's what feels the most difficult. Sometimes I have the courage to go there and sometimes I won't. It's something I just decide at the moment. But it is something that I tend to be really attracted to. So I use pain as like sort of an indicator. It's a way to know when, you know, for me it's evidence that there's personal growth that's waiting for you at the end of that tunnel. But it's up to you if you want to receive it at the time.
So there's something more honest and truthful to sort of going the hardest route. Totally. I mean, you're definitely attracted toward, like, let's go through the hardest route. Let's go through this way in order to achieve the most gain.
Yeah. To me, it's not about the end goal. I learned that maybe a few years ago that my life is, it can't be driven by an end goal. Like, it's just not, because it's so much more about the process and getting there. It's almost like the end goal actually doesn't matter at all. It's just sort of something you place. You just throw a ball as far as you can and you're trying to get to it. It doesn't matter where it actually is, whether you actually obtain it. It's just about the journey you take to get there. Because that's really what, for me, that's what life is about. It's you know, once you achieve the goal, like, it's not about actually obtaining it. It's all the experiences you get to live, you know.
Getting I live goal free, so it's pretty convenient.
Yeah, so I'd say you're.
Well, you'll be back physically and on the podcast.
Physically, yeah.
I'll tell you who your fans are later.
I think you're lying about the fans, but it's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, and good luck on your trip.
Thanks.